Well, welcome back to our series on peace. Peace is something we all desire. We all want to be free of worry and anxiety, feeling control and have a sense of balance and order in our lives. We dream of the time when all the noise will stop, the constant interruptions will come to an end, the daily demands will dwindle, and those texts and phone calls and emails that keep coming in will finally begin to taper off. We long for that day when those now rare and all too brief moments of stillness and tranquility will become an all-day, everyday affair. In short, we look forward to a future of perfect peace. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that day will probably never come. That future will probably never materialize. Instead, the promise of the gospel is that you can have peace now, even in the chaos of your busy life. The promise of faith is that true peace comes from God, who is always and in every moment of your lives pouring out his grace, his favor, his forgiveness, his providence, and his provision for you. In every moment, he's pouring that out in your lives. Even if you're going through a storm right now, and things are not going well, and you're having trouble, even if that's happening in your life, you can still have peace when you see and believe the bright future that God has in store for you. And when you come to understand the big picture of why God let you go through that storm, so that he can bring you to something much greater down the line, prepare you for that much greater thing down the line. But even with faith, like a lot of people, you may still feel on edge sometimes. You may want to believe that everything's going to work out. You aspire to hope for better days ahead, but deep down, worry and anxiety remain. It could be the problem is you're not at peace because you don't feel safe. We all need to feel safe. Maybe you're worried about the state of the world. You know, you think we're headed for some big catastrophe, so maybe you're one of those people, I know some of them like that, who are stocking up on supplies to protect your household and keep yourself safe, have a sense of safety. Or maybe you've got a family member who is not being safe or who is in danger physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and you're doing what you can to keep them safe, to protect them and make them feel safe. Or it could be that you feel unsafe at work, and to protect yourself, you hide out in your office and keep your head down. Or maybe that medical condition feels like a threat, so you turn to the doctors for your safety and to protect your health. We all need to be protected. We all need to feel safe in order to have peace. So today I want to talk with you about protecting your peace. When I was 18, I worked in a hospital emergency room. I was the admissions clerk. My job was to talk to everyone who came in, admit them into the emergency room, and get their insurance card. That was my job. They didn't like that very much, the insurance card part. Anyway, everybody who came through the front doors of that emergency room, pretty much everybody was in some sort of distress. They came in sick or injured. Ambulances kept coming and going with victims of trauma. Family members waited, you know, with great anxiety and uncertainty and fear. It was often a chaotic scene, especially on Saturday nights and on full moons. It's a thing, I'm telling you. But I'll never forget what happened late one evening. We heard gunfire right outside the doors of the emergency room. Several shots were fired. There was a barrage of bullets. Everyone in the ER ducked and got underneath a counter or hid in a closet. Security was called, the police were dispatched. But in the meantime, a young man, an orderly named John, a former soldier, He didn't hesitate. He didn't think twice. He ran outside to see what he could do. His immediate reaction was to protect the staff and the patients on the inside, and to protect whomever the victim was on the outside. The shots, it turns out, sadly, were self-inflicted. John pulled the man from the car onto a gurney and rushed him into the emergency room. When it was all over, the doctors and nurses were upset with John for having placed himself in harm's way. But John just responded. He said, "It's in my nature to protect. It's who I am. I'm a protector." I think we all have that inclination to some extent. We want to protect the people we love. We want to keep them safe. It's who we are on the inside. You know, I've been on many police ride-alongs. I love them. You ever been on a police ride-along? They're fun. I haven't done one in several years. This reminds me I need to go back. But anyway, if they'll have me. But anyway, what I always remarked at on these police ride-alongs is that when a fellow officer was in danger, the others would rush to the scene with little concern for their own safety. Parents are the same way. Parents will do anything to protect their children. They will place themselves in great danger in order to save their child from peril. Parents are programmed to protect. In fact, years ago, I did a funeral. I officiated at a funeral for a man who had 5 children. And what they remembered most about their dad was that he was always there to protect them, no matter what. They called him a big, bad Catholic dad. They knew that he would stop at nothing to defend them and keep them safe. And the good news for us is that the Lord our God is also a big, bad Catholic dad, and he will stop at nothing to defend you and keep you safe. That's who he is. The passage from the gospel reading from John today that we heard at Mass and are looking at today illustrates this truth about God. Let me break down the scene for you a little bit. It's in the city of Jerusalem, and it occurs during the Feast of the Tabernacles, which was an ancient festival held during the autumn season. The people would construct these makeshift like booths or huts like you see on the screen, and then they're called tabernacles, and they would live in them for 8 days to remind them of the time their ancestors were in the desert. It was, and still is today, a joyous celebration among Jewish people, reminding them of God's providence and care for them. Through music and song, they also remembered and gave thanks to God for the bounty of the fall harvest that he had provided for them. So it was a joyous celebration. Jesus was there for this festival in Jerusalem. It was his 3rd trip to the city. But he quickly got caught up in a controversy with other religious authorities who questioned his right to teach. They even tried to have him arrested. And then, as Jesus is wont to do, he kind of made things worse. He actually interrupted the festivities. In the middle of one ceremony, he stood up and loudly proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." And in another ceremony called the water ceremony, he stood up and loudly proclaimed, "I am the true source of living water come down from heaven." He declared his divinity and his special relationship with the Father. As you can imagine, this scene did not go down so well. It did not go down so well. The people became divided, and the religious leaders turned against Jesus. Some of them even tried to have him stoned to death. In response, Jesus called those men spiritually blind because they did not believe in him. And he even claimed that they were false shepherds who exploited the sheep for their own gain. Sheep and shepherds are common images in the scripture. Sheep represent the people of God. The shepherds are the religious leaders appointed to protect and care for them. Now, when you think about it, sheep are pretty calm animals, right? I mean, I've been to a petting zoo. Sheep are pretty calm, at least they seem that way to me. They don't fret or worry about things. They don't get bent out of shape when something goes wrong like I do. They're not looking around corners to be wary of predators or other threats. They don't do that, which you would think that they should, right? Because sheep are basically defenseless creatures. God did not give them defense mechanisms like other animals. They can't run fast. They don't have sharp teeth and claws. They don't have spines like a porcupine. They can't emit a foul odor like a skunk or change colors like a chameleon. They don't have a shell like a turtle, and they're not very big, so they can't really defend themselves. Instead, the sheep rely on the shepherd to take care of them. The shepherd keeps them from harm. The shepherd protects them from danger. The sheep don't worry. They know that as long as they're with the shepherd, they'll be safe. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He compared himself to those other men who were against him and who did not have the best interests of the people at heart. They did not have the best interests of the people at heart because they worked for pay and their own personal gain. Jesus said in the gospel, a hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own will see a wolf coming and leave the sheep and run away. The wolf will catch and scatter the sheep. And Jesus says this is because the man, the false shepherd, works for pay. He has no concern for the sheep. In contrast, the good shepherd protects the sheep with his life. That's why Jesus then says in the gospel, I will lay down my life for the sheep. You know, out in the wilderness, the shepherd at night would gather all the sheep and then herd them into like these natural enclosures. They didn't have like the gates and the corral and all that that we have today. This was way out in the desert. So they would look for these rock formations or other high bushes or something like that that sort of formed these natural enclosures. And the shepherd would herd the sheep into them to protect them from predators and robbers during the night. But then the shepherd would literally lie down across the opening to that enclosure. The thieves and the wolves would have to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. By placing himself at risk and by offering his life for the sheep, the shepherd kept them safe. The sheep knew this, and they trusted the good shepherd to protect them. I think we can learn a lot from sheep. Don't you? We can remain in peace because we know that the Good Shepherd is always watching over us. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus himself said that. He said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. At times, there will be wolves who will come at you and who will come after you and the people you love. There will be attacks that come out of nowhere and for no reason. There will be dark valleys that you have to walk through. But fear no evil. Stay in peace. The good shepherd is with you. He's not going to run away like the false shepherds and leave you to the wolves. The good shepherd will walk with you every step of the way. When you're worried, stressed out, your mind runs wild with crazy scenarios, your fear keeps you from resting. Stay in peace. Stay in peace. The Lord is your shepherd. As Psalm 23 says, he will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you to still waters. He will refresh your soul. When circumstances change and you're worried and you feel threatened, stay in peace. His rod and his staff will comfort you. When someone tries to hurt you, stay in peace. The good shepherd will spread a table before your enemies. You have nothing to worry about. You are highly favored. You are filled with God's grace. You are His prized sons and daughters. You are the ones for whom the Good Shepherd laid down His life because your lives are valuable to Him. So stay in peace. Do not fear. About 10 years ago, I met a remarkable man named Chuck. He was a retired Secret Service agent. In his career, he had protected at least 3 presidents of the United States, including Bill Clinton, otherwise known as Eagle One. That was his code word. Well, over the time that I knew Chuck, I kept asking him, you know, like the young people say, Chuck, you know, spill the tea. Give me some juicy details about your experiences. He said, no thanks. I'll take those to my grave. He was a man of integrity. One time I even asked him, I said, come on, Chuck, let's be honest. Tell me the truth. Treat this like confession, okay? Would you really, really have laid down your life for one of those presidents? Without a moment's hesitation or annoyance at my stupid question, he said he would. He said it was in his nature to protect. That's who he was. When I first met Chuck, he had just been diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, which you probably know is a progressive condition for which there is no cure. Over his 6-year ordeal, Chuck never complained. I know people say that about the deceased at funerals, but his wife told me this. She swore on a stack of Bibles. She never once heard him complain. Sure, he was suffering. Sure, he went through some pain and discomfort, but he never said it. He never mentioned it because he wanted to protect his family. Chuck faced a difficult future. With remarkable bravery, uncommon bravery, because he was a man of faith. He knew that after spending his life protecting others, the Good Shepherd would protect him. Over time, of course, his condition worsened. 3 years ago, this community laid him to rest. He will be sorely missed. But Chuck died in peace, because he trusted the Good Shepherd to bring him into the house of the Lord where he would dwell forever. If you're going through a dark time, a difficult season in your life, stay in peace. The Good Shepherd walks before you. He leads you and guides you to those still waters. He will give you peace. Stay in peace. Put those thoughts of worry and anxiety out of your mind. Stay in peace. Refuse to be mastered by fear. Instead, choose to believe that the Good Shepherd will fight every one of your battles and will defend you to the bitter end, because He gave His life for you and you are cherished and loved. If you can believe this, if you trust this promise, if you have confidence in what the Good Shepherd says, then I declare you will protect your peace. And if you receive this message and you believe in it, can I get an amen? Amen. Amen.